Hey, hey, good morning, fam. Good morning, good morning. God is good all the time. Hey, you know, this morning we are going to once again invite a couple of the missionaries that we support. If you were here a couple weeks ago, you'll remember that we had a missionary from Youth with a Mission share with us as a body, and we got a chance to see what God was doing in her and her team. Her name is Evelyn, in their team in Japan. And today we have another opportunity to hear from a husband and wife team in Fono and Sose. And so our relationship with them actually has gone back for a number of years, as they've been an extension of our family, and it really is built around the longstanding relationship that they have had with Pastor John and Sally. Pastor John first met Sose in the early 80s on a scouting trip with Danny Lehman, who is also from Youth with a Mission. And that's where they met, I believe it was in Taiwan. And one of the things that Sally mentioned to me about Pastor John's first impressions of her was that she was focused and fearless, which are two amazing qualities of someone in service to Jesus, especially on the missions field. And so he was largely impacted by her and her service, and it was through her service that she met her husband. And I am told that what he saw in Sose, he saw in Fono, and so he is a man equally fearless and equally focused. And so it was a match made by God. And as a team, they have been a powerhouse serving in Taiwan. And after their time in Taiwan has come to its completion, they moved over to Samoa and the YWAM base there, where they train teams and send out teams into the South Pacific and beyond. And so they're going to share with us a little bit about their service and what God is accomplishing in them now. So please welcome them up to the stage.
Greetings. Talofa. Tachiahao. I'm going to give the mic to my wife to share first because she is fearless and focused.
Thank you. Fearful and not focused. It's wonderful to be with you guys this morning. Greetings, I send greetings from your other missionaries. You know, because we didn't just get married and just the two of us. We have, the Lord blessed us with five kids. One is with Jesus. She came and she left. And she's buried in Taiwan amongst the Hakka people. Those were the people that we worked with in Taiwan. They were the least reached Chinese people group in Taiwan at the time. But now they're no longer under that category of unreached people group. They have viable churches who are sending out missionaries now. You know, you are clapping. Yes, we clap because it's Jesus, but then also clap because you are a part of that. It's your work. We're not just missionaries that you support. We are you. 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 Because without you, what can we do? Yeah, maybe we can still do what God is doing to us, but because you have a part that you play in it, it's possible. So we can all rejoice and say, yeah, the missionaries did it. Who is the missionaries? It's you guys. It's you that's in this place. You know, we are so blessed. We are honored to be, that you trust us to be your feet, to be your hands, to be your mouth, everywhere that the Lord called us to go. I think it was 4 years ago, we were here. This was before that pandemic. Was it pandemic or pandemic? Sally said pandemic, and I said, that is so true. So before that, we were here with two of our kids. So there were four of us missionaries here. And so the other one, they at that time, they were in Saudi. Is it okay to say that word here? Yeah. Okay. They were serving there, serving the people there. You were there serving the people there. You trusted those two. And so as a family of six plus, the Lord added two more because the boys got married, so that I have four daughters now, five to the one that, and two grandkids. And they know we're coming today over here to be with you guys, and they say to send love. You don't know them. They don't know each of you. They know your name, as this is North Long Beach, as your pastor said, that we go back to when it was Hosanna Chapel. And then when they moved here, we became over here. This is our family. It's you guys. So this is, I know you guys went through it last year when Pastor John passed, but we grieve from Samuel. Samuel was locked down for almost 3 years. And so it opened on the 1st of August, and we flew out on the 13th of August. And so we've been out for about 2 months now, and are making our way back to Samoa. I shared with the Women's Fellowship two nights ago, and they asked a lot of questions. Women ask a lot of questions. And so how did you hear God's voice? How did you know he's the right guy? What are you doing? You know, what are you guys doing in the mission field and stuff like that? And how can we help? You know, things like that. It was a wonderful time. That's a lot of questions. We serve God. I serve God trembling. Yes, a lot of people say, you're so fearless. You are so focused. I have a husband that lives with me 24/7. I am very fearful, very, very. But I don't let my fear stop me. And close my eyes and walk into it. Yeah, close the eyes and walk into it. In a lot of things, and just say, God, if there's the greatest lesson, greatest thing that with God is that I realize I need him so much more now than when I first met him. When was the first time you met God? Don't you realize that even you walked with him and you think you got it? No, but you look at it and say, I need him so much more than when I first met him. So much more. And it's scary. That's very scary. In the sense of like, wow, the more I know, the more I know I don't know. Yeah, my husband usually say that a lot when he says, the more you know, you don't know. And that's so true, because it keeps me hanging on to Jesus, dear life, to Jesus. Yeah. And it was said that we go way back with Sally and John, and we watch you guys two nights ago on our first night here. We watched the service and stuff like that. And what a wonderful man that is. He imparts so much into our lives. Came and visited, and we come here and they are, you guys provide housing through their house and stuff like that. And we are so grateful, so, so grateful. I wanted to say that, yes, we, in the work and your work that we are your hands and feet on, we have sent out missionaries. We have sent out missionaries from Samoa. We were in Taiwan for 26 years and now been in Samoa for 12, 13 years. Wow, that's a long time. Feel so old. but the Lord have, we have people, you have people that are serving in Thailand, in Cambodia, in Japan, in Hong Kong, in Brazil, in the Pacific Islands, and also in Europe. You have missionaries that are there. So, you know, I told the ladies that night when I was sharing, and I said, you know, don't think of Long Beach, I mean, of, what do you call it? Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach. Do not think of yourself just within these corners or within your block. Because that's not, there's more of you. You look behind every missionary that you support. That's you. Honestly, that's you. You are so international. And there's so many of you worshiping God out there. And we happen to be the feet. We happen to be your mouthpiece. We happen to be your hands. And I say, I just pray that we continue to be worthy servants of the Lord. That you have trusted us to be that. You know, but there's, you are so big. You are so big. You think of people that are serving in Asia and the different places, just a few of the places that I have mentioned you. That's you. That is you. That's not like the missionaries who came and visited. Like, I hope you don't look at us that way, because we don't feel that way. You are, we belong to you. You belong to us. And every, hopefully, every victory that we won on the mission field, it's your victory. Struggles, bet there's tons of struggles. Your struggles. And that's my prayer, is that we will continue to be worthy servants as we continue to serve with you. Lots of fun will share about what other missionaries, our kids, you know, that are, what they are doing, because it's what you are doing. It's so important, the part that you play in our family. Super important. No. Thank you for letting me share a little bit. Yeah.
Thank you, Felix. Really, on behalf of my family, Sose, Tiffany, Charity, Elisabetta, Trent, and Jean, and then our Lisa and Ali, Bronson and Liv. This is all our kids, you know. I want to thank you. Thank you so much for partnering with us in the kingdom's work all over the world. You know, thank you, Pastor Brandon, and also the leadership of our church here. You have been a great encouragement, support, and partner with us. The work that we do out there, it's not just us. There's a small church in Samoa, smaller than our church here. And this church is probably the biggest in the whole world in terms of Samoan churches. It's not a big church, but it's the biggest in terms of their influence. Because they support almost every Samoan missionary that is out there in Africa, in India, in Asia, in South America, and all over. And they support them financially, and it's a small church. So when I get up there to share, I said, you are the biggest church that I've ever been with. Why? If you look at all the missionaries out there that you support, look at their influence there and the people that they have brought to Christ and people that those people have brought to Christ, it's multiplication. So you are the biggest church in the world. We have to change our mindset. You know, many times we focus on ourselves. You know, I need to get up every morning and do something for me and my family, you know, and also my church. And our thinking, it limits just around where we are. But we need to expand our mindset. In Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, you can look it up, but it's a very familiar few verses over there, where God created man in his image. Male and female, okay? They got, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. 27, 28, please. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. 28. Now, this is very, very key. You know, to me, Genesis 1 is the foundation of everything. I tell you how many times that God has taken me back to Genesis 1. It's like, that's my whole Bible there, Genesis 1. And I meditate and meditate. It's like every time I see this, I see new things. And so, verse 28, please. Over there, and then it's really interesting. It says there in the beginning of that verse, then God blessed them. We are here today because God blessed us. We have the same blood. You and I have the same blood. We have the same bloodline, the blood of Jesus. It connects us. We're in the same family. And through that bloodline, we are blessed. Now, notice, that's the first thing God said in that verse. Then God blessed them. Then God blessed you. In the second part of that, it says, and God said to them. Now, God blessed them first, and then he said to them this. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now he blessed them first, and then what? Then he tells them, now you be fruitful and multiply. These things, they go together. You cannot be fruitful and not multiply. Do you understand? You can have a whole tree standing there and no fruit. It will never multiply. But once it bears fruit, it's got seeds in them. When it falls into the ground, it dies, and it multiplies. So fruitful and multiplication, they go together. So, and God has already blessed them, and then he's commanding them these two things. Be fruitful and multiply. Multiply. If you are fruitful and not multiplying, you're not doing the second thing that completes that part. You need to multiply. And the second part, it says what? Fill the earth and subdue it. When we are fruitful, however, you know, with that blessing of God, you know, in the very first part of that verse, God blessed them. And then fill the earth with what? With that blessing of God. Do you understand? And subdue it. See, how do we disciple nation? That in Matthew 28 goes back, looking at that verse, you know, how do we subdue the earth? By making disciples of all nations. Do you understand? It's the Great Commission. Jesus is just repeating what God has already said. So, this season is a season of multiplication. Fruitfulness and multiplication. It goes together. It comes even after persecution, suffering, and stuff like that. We've been in this pandemic, you know. We were locked down for 3 years. And I got tired of being locked down, you know. It's like, just bring it on. Whatever is there, you know. Bring the virus to us, you know. And so we got, it's like, you get tired of it. You want to get out. So finally, when it opened, we were out in like after 14 days, 13 days. And so, but fill the earth with the glory of God. With that fruitfulness, we need to multiply. Now, my wife was talking about that you are part of this multiplication. We met John about 37, 38 years ago. You know, that's a long time, right? I'm 63 years old now. My wife is 62. So 63 becomes like 36, and 62 becomes 26. It's just the way, however you interpret those numbers. I don't feel 63. I feel like I'm still young. I can go on and on and on. But be fruitful and multiply. I want to tell you a story. You know, Pastor John, whenever we come to his home, he'll come to Mr. Forno. When we're sitting on the dining table, he'll say, well, I want to tell you a story. He's a storyteller. Just like Jesus was a storyteller. And I want to tell you a story. You know, and that would be, as in that story form, it's also, you know, my whole sharing even today. The year was 1830 when the gospel first arrived on our shores. This guy, John William, from Great Britain, traveled down to Tahiti in late 1700. Early 1800. And he preached the gospel there to the Tahitian, and moved to Cook Islands and to the Rarotongans. And then he sat there one day and he said to God, God, I want to go to Samoa. What am I doing here in my comfortable home while the Samoans are going to hell? And so he wrote a letter to LMS, London Missionary Society, in Great Britain, asking them for two things. Please send me a ship. In those days, there were no airplanes. There were no cars, but they had ships, right? And these ships are not like the big ships that we have today. They're just smaller ships. And then when you send a mail, it takes about 6 months to get there, and another 6 months to come back. One letter. So the letter of reply came back to him when he was in Rarotonga in the Pacific Islands. And the letter said, John William, sorry, there is no ship and we have no money. London Missionary Society. It was a movement or an organization just like YWAM that was formed to send out missionaries to the Pacific and other parts of the world that have not heard of Jesus for the first time. Oh, we are blessed to have that man. And so he was sitting there reading this letter, and his heart was just broken. How? So he prayed. When we are in trouble, what do? We run to God. But when we are blessed, what do? We run away. And so he said, God, help me to get to Samoa. He looked around and he saw the trees of Cook Islands. So he had these men cut down the trees. And what did they do? Start turning those trees into timber. But he did not have the nails. So they discovered that there was a trader's ship that was sunk there in the shores of Rarotonga. So he sent men to retrieve that anchor, the anchor of that sunk ship. So they pull up the anchor from the bottom of the ocean there, and they burn that, you know, make really hot fire, and they turn that anchor into liquid metal. What did they do? They turn that anchor into nails. So they built the ship that took him and Rarotongan disciples and the Tahitian Temple to Samoa for their first missionary journey. Incredible story. This is true. Now, 1830, they arrived in Samoa on Messenger of Peace. That was the name of the ship, the Messenger of Peace. Made in the Cook Islands and first trip to Samoa, bringing the good news there. So the gospel arrived there in 1830, but in 1839, they sent out the first 12 Samoan missionaries to a nation, a group of islands. It's called, in those days it was called the New Hebrides. Today it's called Vanuatu. Who has heard of Vanuatu? Sent out the first 12 missionaries there. And these people were cannibals. They were cannibals, they were headhunters, and they were sending the missionaries there. Now the first 12 missionaries, I think a few made it back. But most of them died there. Either they died because of diseases or malaria, and there was just rampant in those days. Or they were eaten by the local people. They became lunch and dinner. John William himself was there. And in that first trip, he was martyred there on the island of Aromango. I went there. This is about 11 years ago. The Lord spoke to me that I was to follow my forefathers' footsteps, to feel how they felt, to feel the honor of serving God. And so as I went there to the New Hebrides to walk in my forefathers, these are missionaries, footsteps, it's like, my goodness, it's like I can feel that they were smiling and clapping. But anyways, so John Williams was marched there on the island of Aromango. It's a long story, but anyway, so he and his young helpmate both were killed there. And his name was Harry. He was 18 years old. 18 years old. He was a helpmate. He was a disciple. It's like a DTS student in YWAM. And John William also was not that old. And then his helpmate was 18-year-old Harry. Harry was bigger than John Williams. So they killed him on that beach. And there were two tribes, two brothers that run these tribes. The one on the shore was a smaller tribe, but the one on the hill, on the mountains, was a bigger one. So Harry was bigger than John Williams. So they killed him and sent Harry's body to the mountains because that tribe was bigger for their lunch. And then they had John Williams down at that tribe where we started. When I got there, we did the reconciliation for the whole island because they asked me if I could come and stand on behalf of Samoan missionaries that were killed, were martyred, were eaten by the locals. This was back in 2011, when I went to do this. And, I was there and I thought, my goodness, how dare you touch God's servants? But when we think about it, when we become Christians, we have really committed our lives to the Lord. We don't have any more lives. We are already dead. And John William was that. And then from that time, after that time, more Samoan missionaries. And if 10 were dead, 100 were sent. The missionary flow. Then after Vanuatu was reached with the gospel, by the Samoans, Papua New Guinea needed help. The Tongans were there, and they needed help. So the Samoans then sent to Papua New Guinea as well. I go there to Papua New Guinea, and people, it's like they respect Samoans. Yeah, I arrive at the airport and say Samoans, like, oh, yeah, you know, they because of our forefathers. So I'm there, they honor me, but I said, man, the honor is my forefathers. You know, they lay down their lives. And just stories of how God moved, because the language of the Samoans is different from the Papua New Guineans. But the language of the Cook Islands and the Tahitians, very similar to the Samoans, Polynesia. And so that was why when missionaries from Cook Islands came to Samoa, it was easier for them to learn the Samoan language so that they can preach the gospel in that language. But anyways, all the way up to about 1970s, I think the Samoans started to slow down in sending missionaries. And I'm talking about the churches there, the mainland churches. But praise God that YWAM came into the picture. And so both of us, I was raised as a Methodist. I'm still a Methodist. I used to believe that the Methodist Church was the true church of Jesus. And my wife was raised in the CCC, which is Congregational Christian Church of Samoa, came from that LMS. And so, but anyways, and so up to the 70s, the churches in Samoa started to slow down in sending missionaries because they were told there is no more need for Samoan missionaries. What a lie. What a lie. There was a struggle, there was a division amongst the missionaries, especially the Western missionaries. There was also jealousy there because they were seeing how effective the island missionaries were doing their work. And so they wrote to the leaders in Samoa, said, we don't need any more missionaries from Samoa. But what about beyond Samoa? Today, Papua New Guinea still have so many tribes that have not heard of Jesus for the first time. There's still many tribes. So part of our mission for Papua New Guinea is to reach out to 50 languages, at least have the Bible in these people's language. 50 tribes, 800 and some tribes there. And that's why there are so many problems in Papua New Guinea politically. Because if you rise up as a leader, my tribe will take him down, you know? And so even in Solomon Islands. And so when YWAM came into the picture, we took the gospel beyond the Pacific. So God called us to the Chinese. God called me to the Chinese when I was even in high school. I didn't know where China was. I didn't have money. And so, but anyways, I'm going to cut this short, Brandon. Otherwise, you know, it's a long story. But anyway, so we met John then 37 years ago, and started this relationship. That's why you guys are so dear to us. You are part of us. Whatever we do there, out there, you are part of it. We are your hands and your feet. You praying for us, you giving to us and our children and to the ministry. It's incredible. We are very, very grateful. And thank you. And so we moved to Samoa in 2009. 2005, God spoke to me in Brazil, of all places, in Brazil. I was there for a leaders meeting there. And I was in a worship, like 2,500 people were worshiping together. I was in the back of the hall. And the Lord spoke to me, gave me a vision of a tsunami wave with Samoa. I said, no, God. You're not going to take me to Samoa. Samoa already heard the gospel a million times. There's so many people out there that have not heard of Jesus. And in my heart, I was planning that after Taiwan, we moved to mainland China, to Beijing. Because we are fluent in Chinese. We know how to write. We know how to read. We can read the Bible. And we're ready to go. Even our children, we all speak Chinese. And I thought, Beijing, praise God, Beijing. Instead of a big city, Beijing, send it to a Samoa, little tiny island. anyways, what do you do? What do missionaries do? We do the next thing that God tells us to do, whether we like it or not. Because he knows better. You don't know better. I don't know better. He knows better. So we've been there like 12 years now. We took our kids there. They went to high school there, you know. Had the time of their life. So I asked them, my boys, what is the best thing ever happened to you in school? What is the, you know? And I'm expecting like, oh, you know, I'm top of my class, you know, in math and English and all that stuff. So, oh, I finally found friends. I can play rugby now. It's like, man, I didn't send him to school to play rugby. But anyway, so, but I tell you what, we're a missionary family. The kids graduated. And my son, Tran, who is now pioneering a new YWAMPA's new ministry in the city of Siegen, Germany. There's no YWAMPA's there. And they didn't even want there. His wife didn't want to go back there. She's German. She didn't want to go there, but God told them to go there. See? So we're expecting great things from there because God told them. And so he said, Dad, can I just, after, you know, foundational year at university, he said, can I just spend this year? I want to go play rugby. And he wanted to get into the national team. I don't know if any of you knows about rugby, but it's a really rough game. Kills you, breaks you, and then you are useless after that. I used to play rugby. But anyway, so I said, okay, you know, go play rugby. And 4 times he was in trials to go into the national team. 4 times. He didn't make it. And he was one of the candidates. And then he had an accident. He was so into the rugby. Had an accident. The car was totaled. And he walked away. Then he went and did a DTS. So I said, okay, because we have a policy for our children. Today, we have our children go free, and now they're lost. For the two of us, we have a policy, you know. God gave the law to Moses, and I give the law to the kids. Okay, every one of you is to do a DTS, Discipleship Training School, with YWAM. That is non-negotiable. Where you do it, you can choose. But you'll have to pray for your airfare. But anyway, so he went to Kona, did his CTS after that accident, came back, and then he wanted to see her, wanted to pursue rugby. And then he had another car accident. You know? Because he went to the airport and then he had another car accident. So he came back home and said, son, you have one more chance. The next accident, you will be gone. So we were having a devotion one night, and so I asked him, where is God calling you? And this is my question to him, you know, and he said, to the Muslim world. He and his brother were the first island missionaries to go to Saudi Arabia. They were there for 2 years. He went there to pioneer. Both of them are CrossFit coaches. Anyone who does CrossFit over here? I do CrossFit. I cross my feet. I don't do CrossFit. But they are coaches. The only way to get to Saudi Arabia is go there as a coach. So they went there as coaches. The youngest one was, I think it was 20. And then the older one was 22. Young men. But they were there. They fell in love with Jesus. And so they were there for 2 years. So they came out before the pandemic happened. And so the youngest one wanted to go back, but then his visa was denied because of the pandemic. So he couldn't go. So he came here, stayed here in the States, and got married. Now he's up there in Washington States there in Spokane. But they love the Lord, these guys. So he was planning to go back to Iraq. So both the sons are out there, but our two girls are in Samoa, Tiffany and Betta. Thank you for praying for them. Tiffany, she is, I'm not bragging, but the number one translator in a court of Samoa, court of justice, for the Chinese cases. She can translate from Chinese to English and English to Chinese. So whenever they have cases that are difficult, so they call her in. They also work in the spheres of society. But I think next year, they're planning to come up and then continue on in the nations. During this trip, I'm on my way to Brazil. What do I do in Brazil? Learn about soccer. I'm also last year, well, the beginning of this year, I think, they appointed me as an associate dean of the Faculty of Science and Technology of the University of the Nation. We have a university, YWAM University. I'm an associate dean of that faculty. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm doing there. And so two of my associates in this team, it's called a dean's team, they are both scientists, PhD graduates from prestigious universities, one from Great Britain, the other one from here in the States. And I am degreeless. So I said, why do you want me, why do you want to appoint me as a, and he said, well, you do what these degrees have, and so we need you on the team. So, yeah. So my role in this team is really to expand the faculty. So that's why I'm going to Brazil. So in Brazil, I'm going there to confirm the venue for our consultation next year. I met with some of the engineers that they're all YWAMers. They're in Brazil for the first time. And I said, man, this is good. We need to have a conference. Okay, conference, we will have a conference. And the theme of the conference is multiplication. I just shared about that one. Multiplication. It's what God's been speaking, multiplication. And I talked with these engineers, and they said, man, we want to take the gospel into the communities, Amazon, into the nations. But, you know, engineers are not really, what do you call it? Many of them are not apostolic, and scientists are not apostolic in their gifting. They're more like so focused, right? So focused and pretty much narrow-minded. So you need to expand their horizon. So, but we'll also be running seminars and workshops before the consultation. I major in biogas systems. I think 3 years ago, one of the brothers was reminding me that I share about, because we just came back from Kenya, where we trained people from Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, Rwanda, and Southern Sudan. So they all came to Uganda, and I trained them, and we built the first system there that worked in that region. Because when I got there, nobody believed that I could build that the systems that we'll build will work. Why? There was a company that were building all these systems, and none of them worked. It's like they just take the people's money, and the things that they produce don't work. And so as we were building this and training them and building these things, I mean, they were building this, you know, I'm just talking, telling them what to do, and training them and building the system, they keep asking me, is this thing going to work? You know why they asked? because I'm not white. If I was white, they would believe it will work. But because I'm brown or darker, they don't believe me that these systems will work. So every time they ask, will that work? I said, no, it's not going to work. Why are we building? We're just building it. You really have to go. You see opposite psychology to get people's attention, you know? So I said, it's not going to work. Why are we building? Maybe it'll work. And that system, I designed it there according to what they have. So, you know, we have never built that system anywhere else. I just modified the system, and it's very good. So we closed the system. We done everything. And then they said, when is it going to work? So that night, I think the following night, they came and said, is it going to be any fire? I said, no fire. And so at about 12 o'clock at night, I mean, the Africans, they're there, you know, partying, you know. I said, go and turn on the gas and light it up. Maybe we'll have some fire. So they went and turned on the gas. Everyone came to where the fire, and the thing, boom. They celebrated, they danced and sang the whole night celebrating. They have never seen cow poo turn into fire. And so anyway, but multiplication. You are part of this. We are an extension of you, like Sose was sharing. And without you, we can do nothing. You know, we're not here to raise more support. We're here to tell you that you are part of this multiplication. You be fruitful where you are and multiply. Maybe some of us, God is calling you, or maybe your children, to do what we are doing. When I left university and committed to be a missionary with YWAM, I never turned back. I thought I was going to go for 1 year, and my 1 year has turned into, I think, 37 years, almost 40 years being a missionary. And I love it. I will never trade this for anything. I wanted to become a doctor to make money. I would probably have already dead. But I'm grateful. But thank you so much for everything, Pastor Brandon, your leadership, and every one of you, your families, your children. God has called all of us to missions. Yeah. Mission is mission. Mission is not something that we do on a side. It's part of our lives. God has called us to Him, and therefore we are to be Him to the nations. Over here in Long Beach, this is not just your home. Your home is the whole world. Look at that. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. You can never subdue the earth without the presence of God. And the presence of God comes by us taking the gospel to the nations. Thank you, and God bless you.
You know, I have a confession to make. I've never seen cow poo set on fire either. But, you know, one of the things that I can appreciate so much about their story is the way that God has ignited their own relationship with God and turned that into a service that has impacted generations. Not just the people that they have been able to reach with the gospel, and not just the extension of their kids, but the multiplication that has taken place as just a natural part of what God has accomplished in them. I think sometimes when we think about our service to God, we think of it in terms of just an immediate impact. Just our life and another life, and we don't really look beyond that. But all of us are here because somebody shared the gospel with somebody, and the impact has gone on through generations. And that's what God can and will accomplish in all of us, because our service to God isn't separate from our relationship with him, but our service to God flows from our relationship with him. And so we're going to be talking about that even more next week as we continue our study in God's word. But I think it's powerful for us to be able to see it living and breathing in what it actively looks like, even across the nations. And so what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask Fono and Sose to come back up here so we can pray over them. And then I'm going to ask them to pray over our body as we continue to serve. Now, as a reminder, we have our harvest fair coming up, and it's not just a fair to be able to host our neighbors, to be able to come and have a fun night on the night of Halloween, although that's how a lot of them see it. But for us, it's an opportunity to engage our culture and our neighbors with the hope of the gospel. And there are so many different opportunities where you can be a part of that. As they mentioned, we're a part of the service that God accomplishes through them and their service in Samoa and in other places that they have both been and continue to serve. There are opportunities for you to pray, for you to donate, for you to support, for you to be able to invest your time and opportunities. Like, it just go into the website, ccnlb.com/connect, look up Harvest, and you'll see all the different ways that you can get involved. And I would encourage you to prayerfully be a part of that, because for us, this isn't an event, and it's not about it's not an event that's meant to be about our popularity or spread the growth of our church necessarily. This is about the gospel. It's about eternity. It's about standing in the gap for those that live around us. And this isn't just the ministry of the church leadership, but for us as the church, and you get to be a part of that. So please prayerfully consider how you can serve, or how you can give, or how you can be a part of it, so that we can see God accomplish multiplication in this body and in our community. So let's pray over them, and then I'll ask them to pray over us, and we'll bring our service to a close. Father, I thank you so much for Fono, for Sose, for their family, for their kids and grandkids and their acts of service to you. I thank you, God, that this isn't them going through the motions, but out of a deep love for you, in response for your deep love for them, they serve. They have laid their lives down at your feet for your service, and through that, generations of people know you and will know you because of their faithfulness to serve you, because of your work and your power in and through them. To your credit, to your glory, but as they have stepped into obedience and laid their lives down, you have been glorified, and you continue to be glorified, and I thank you for that. We worship you for the way that your light shines in them, and their light is a reflection of you, and it shines so brightly before men that they see their good works and worship and glorify you, our Father in heaven. I pray for a continuance of that. I pray, Father, for fresh vision for them, that you would move in ways beyond anything that they have expected or even planned out for their own lives. But, Lord, that you would lead them to the next thing, that would be to the next thing, and on into eternity, till the whole world knows. Lord, I pray that you would multiply their service in ways even beyond what they see or even understand for themselves. And that you would inspire us as a body, that we would continue to support them, not just financially, but, Lord, prayerfully. That we would be able to give them the thing that impacts the most, our time with you, standing in the gap for them on our knees through prayer. And I pray, Father, that you would bless those efforts, and that you would show us how we can come alongside them and serve them, and that you would use us, God, as an extension of your hand in the efforts of proclaiming the gospel through their life and ministry and in their family. And Father, I pray that we would be inspired by their story and that the multiplication would continue in that we, Father, seek your face on how we can lay our lives down, that you would use our lives for the proclamation of the gospel, that eternities in the lives of the people around us would be impacted for generations to come. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I just felt, you know, that prayer. How do you turn it? Is it on?
Yeah.
Okay. the one that pastor just prayed. I just felt, well, I said, turn that around, and that's a word for you. He prayed over us. You prayed over us. But us is you and us. This is turn. Just speak and say, turn that prayer around and say amen to that. It's Jesus is not your sidekick. No, he's not. He is our life. He is you. Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you. We say amen, Lord, to the word that you have spoken, Lord God, over us, Lord Jesus, the work, the call that you have called us. And Lord, I believe you say, turn that around and say amen to it because it's your word for our family here, Lord God. And I speak that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
He's my King's Kids buddy, this guy here. He said when he was 14, when you were 13?
13 and 14.
He's never the same since, yeah?
That's right.
Never the same. That you guys will never be the same. Amen.
So let's go ahead and stand together. I'm going to ask our worship team to come up, and we're going to close with the time of worship. And even as we do, I would encourage you, even as we focus on the power of God to move in and through those that have impacted our lives, we think about the way that God wants to continue that work through us by his own power, for his own glory. That the world will know who Jesus is, and that they would have the experience of life that we have in him. So prayerfully consider your role in this, and your part, and what God can and will accomplish in you, and how we push forward in his service out of the overflow of love for him. So Lord Jesus, we commit this time to you. We pray, Lord, even in our time of closing worship, that you would speak, that you would move, that you would inspire. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
There's a name that levels mountains, carves out highways through the sea. I've seen its power unravel battles right in front of me. There's a faith that stands defiant, sends Goliath to his knees. I've seen his praise unravel shackles right off my feet. That's the power of your name. Just to mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. There's a hope that calls out courage. In the furnace, unafraid. The kind of daring expectation that every prayer I make is on an empty grave. 'Cause that's the power of your name. Just to mention makes a way. Giants fall and strongholds break, and there is healing. That's the power that I claim. It's the same that rolled the grave. There's no power like the mighty name of Jesus. I see you taking ground. I see you press ahead. Your power is dangerous in the enemy's camp. You still do miracles. You will do what you said. For you're the same God now as you've always been. Your spirit breaking out. Your kingdom moving in. Your Jesus. Amen. Amen, you guys.